4:4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Interesting passage, isn't it? And there's going to be lots for us to think about and pray about. So why don't I pray for us now as we get into this? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the chance to read your word and to be taught by it. Lord, as we come to you this morning, please change our hearts. Help us to see where we may have gone wrong, where we've been independent rather than dependent on you, and help us to grow from it. Amen. So I wonder, as we read this short passage this morning, how did it make you feel? How does that word rejoice this week make you feel? Don't be anxious about anything. Well, how have you reacted to that phrase? This passage tells us not to worry, but to rejoice all the time. I'm sure you've heard this before, and so you know that you should rejoice, and yet you'll find yourself constantly worrying. We all know that song, 10,000 Reasons. Maybe today you find yourself with 10,000 reasons to worry. This passage, it might just be presenting you with another reason to worry, the fact that you don't think you're rejoicing enough. If you started to list your reasons to worry, you might just be overwhelmed. Now, I don't recommend doing that, but life is worrying, isn't it? We all struggle to rejoice, while automatically we'll slip into worry. A guy wrote a commentary on the book of Philippians, Matt Chandler, and he asked a great question about this exact passage. Are the outcomes of this too difficult to be reasonable? To me, it sounds like the ultimate bit of Facebook Christianity. Rejoice always. Don't be anxious. Be at peace. And move from Facebook to real life, and peace may feel like the opposite of your reality at the moment. How could you possibly rejoice with all that's going on in your life? As Christians in a worrying world that constantly presents us with reasons to be anxious, how can we rejoice all the time? And is it possible for this command to come into our actual lives rather than just sitting here on the page and in our minds as a guilt inducer that makes us grit our teeth and just try to rejoice? So we're going to be taking four stops on the journey through these verses this morning to see how we can be equipped to really rejoice in the Lord. It's not going to end in a bumper sticker of pray more or let go, let God. No, this passage equips us for real life struggles and anxieties. So we're going to move into our first stop of this morning's journey. If you've got the passage open there, that's great. If you've closed your Bible, maybe open it up again. I've got it on page 953. So this passage starts with an exhortation, an encouragement to the Philippians and to us as well. Rejoice. This command in Paul's eyes is important enough to repeat. Now, I don't know about you, but often when I'm reading Paul's letters in the Bible, I'm scrambling to keep up with him. He's got long sentences and deep thoughts, and I'm sometimes left behind. But here, Paul slows down. And we need to do the same and pay attention. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. So let's start with a definition. I think if we want to understand this passage, we're going to need to have a grasp on the meaning of a few key words: joy, anxiety, prayer, peace. So let's start with this word, rejoice. To rejoice is simply to have and express joy. And what is joy? Well, joy is an overflowing of thankfulness and deep happiness. Joy is not a fake smile that hides what is really going on. That's not what Paul's asking for here. It's not a resting happy face that will mean you never, ever lose your smile. Paul is not commanding us to pretend that we are okay when everything is falling down around us. Now, the key thing here, I think, is to grasp the basis of our joy. Our joy is in the Lord. This thankfulness and deep happiness is grounded in our relationship with God. Rejoicing comes from knowing God and knowing what he's done for you. So we'll spend a moment now reflecting on who God is and what it is that we have to rejoice for. Paul gave the Philippians a bunch of reasons to rejoice in Jesus. So have a quick look at chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, if you've got those Bibles there in front of you. This is talking about Jesus, and this is the Jesus that we rejoice in. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the nature of a servant. And he did that for us. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross for us. And we know from Isaiah that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We can rejoice in the God that saves us from our sin and sent his Son for us. So we rejoice in the Lord, and true rejoicing is going to be connected to him. Now, the beauty of this, and I think this is probably the most important thing for us to grasp this morning as our life situations change rapidly, the beauty of this is that God is unchanging. Because God is unchanging, our joy in him will also be unchanging. It's no surprise that the writers of the Psalms call God their rock. When life explodes around you, God is steady. To rejoice in God means to have joy, a deep overflowing thankfulness and happiness. And while it is easier to rejoice in some moments than others, we know that our joy is not situational. Paul encourages us to rejoice all the time. And it's not situation by situation, is it? Our God, who is the same in every situation, is near to us. We see that in verse 5. And it means that we rejoice in the Lord always. When your plans go exactly as intended, when life is all smiles, when you pay off your home or you reach a goal that you've been working towards for a long time, when you look back on 2021, this might be you, and you think, wow, that was a good year. It went how I hoped it would. But it also means for all of us here that we can rejoice when it's not automatic or easy, when you or a loved one is diagnosed with a serious illness, when you have another fight with your teenage kid who seems to be taking step after step away from the faith, as a teenager, as your parents just don't seem to get it, when life is like a spin cycle, round and round with no relief. And this isn't an empty encouragement from Paul. He himself rejoices always. Paul can rejoice when the Philippians place their faith in Jesus, when they partner with him in the gospel work in chapter 1, verse 5, but also when he is attacked and thrown into prison in Philippi, in the very same town, when he's beaten and wrongfully and openly persecuted and stoned, Paul can rejoice. Because our joy is in the Lord and is not in our situation, we can rejoice in all situations. Paul is right to say, rejoice in the Lord. And if you're like me, I think you can see how this works logically. But we run into a problem. We see rejoice, but the second stop in our journey this morning is talking about anxiety, which is the enemy of rejoicing. Our problem is that instead of rejoicing, we worry. Now, Paul knows that the Philippians, like everyone else, are going to be prone to worry and anxiety when they're faced with life in the sinful world. He tells them, do not be anxious about anything, because he knows their tendency. Anxiety is our natural posture, isn't it? Now, let's take a definition stop now. I think the word anxiety has been heavily shaped by talk around mental health for us here in Australia. And anxiety, in the case of this passage, is not necessarily talking about the psychological disorder where we can be constantly overcome by future perceived threats. Anxiety in this case can more closely be equated with worry. Worry about circumstances and situations. And some translations will put the word worry in there instead of anxiety. And now, while some of us will be battling with deep anxiety, or what I might call capital A anxiety, the psychological disorder, all of us will battle worry and anxiety in the sense of this passage of general worry. There's going to be encouragement for all of us in this, for those with deep anxiety and for those troubled by general worry. And I understand too that worry is a sliding scale, isn't it, from minor anxieties to those that will govern the whole way you live. Some worry is good, some worry is definitely not good. Wherever worry crops up in your life though, the things that we're learning today are going to help you. So where can worry crop up? Well, let's think through some examples. Worry is being anxious to fit in and doing everything you can to be accepted. If you're not a worrier, you might be anxious to be over there rather than here, to be finished your uni degree and working in your field rather than doing your final year of study. You're overtaken by thoughts about the future, 3 or 4 steps ahead of your current situation. It's constant thought about where you will be and aiming to get everything squared away. Anxiety is worry that your life of comfort may be removed from you by changing circumstances. It is fear of the unknown that drives you to work everything out ahead of time, with plenty of time to spare, only to be totally thrown when something changes last minute. It's anxiety for people who are taken advantage of, worry for people at risk. We all have sources of worry in our lives, don't we? And I'm sure you could go on and list more. So where is rejoicing hindered by anxiety or worry in your life? I can give a pretty real example for me. Lately, there's been some anxiety overtaking rejoicing for me, even though I don't consider myself a worrier or an anxious person. As you know, Caitlin and I are moving to Sydney. We're moving next week. And when our planning became more concrete, worry for me came flooding in. In moments of quiet, when I was falling asleep at night, waking up in the morning, my mind would become filled with small anxieties regarding the move. Will we have enough money to make the move and live in our new home? Will we make new friends? How will we go saying goodbye to everyone that we know and love at the Reformed Church in Kingston? How will we go finding a new church? And at this point, 6 months ago, I thought, will Sydney even be out of lockdown by the time we move? Well, how could I rejoice when I couldn't even answer 1 of 100 questions? It's easy to smile and laugh as we confess overthinking to each other, isn't it? It's almost comical the way we think out every single little possibility and we can spiral a little bit. But I think that this is just anxiety and it makes it hard for us to rejoice in God. It gets in the way of me rejoicing in God. Because the lie that anxiety tells me, and it tells you this too, is that you will be able to rejoice just as soon as you fix what it is you're worried about. I'll be able to relax about my move to Sydney just once I've answered all my questions, budgeted down to the cent, and seen Sydney come out of lockdown. Then I'll be able to rejoice. You see, there are types of anxiety that we glorify here in Australia. Ultra-preparedness, overthinking, desperation to be there rather than here. There's anxiety that we look down on. People who are worrywarts or stress on the tiniest little details. But it doesn't matter which side of worry you're on. and what people think of your worry, it can all too easily stop your rejoicing, can't it? The Philippian church had plenty of reason to worry. Philippi, as I said before, was the town where Paul and Silas were arrested and imprisoned. The Philippians were faced with ongoing opposition. And we don't have to go looking for reasons to worry, do we? Like the Philippians, they come to us easily. So how can we rejoice when we're constantly worrying? The answer is not to fix everything and then rejoice. Now, if we're ever going to rejoice in every situation, we need to rejoice despite our circumstances, don't we? We need to learn to deal with our anxieties. Let's take a drink. So anxiety is the enemy of rejoicing. That's our second stop. And we're arriving at stop number three. Thankfully, Paul doesn't mention the problem of anxiety without giving us instructions to work against it. If you look at your passage again now, the answer to anxiety is to pray. Paul tells us in verse 6, don't be anxious. Instead, pray in all situations. Our third stop this morning is prayer. What is prayer? It's definition time. Well, prayer is talking to God, presenting our request to Him. It's specific. A petition, you might see that word there. It's a bit confusing, but it's just a prayer of request. We can cry out to God for help in any situation. Paul is inviting us here to reorient ourselves from worry to prayer. We present our requests to God, the same one who is able in chapter 2 to raise Jesus from the dead and give him the name above every name. As I was thinking about this, I wonder, have you ever tried to break a bad habit? Or maybe an addiction? The worst way to do it is by white-knuckling it, by gritting your teeth and just not doing it. If you're trying to drink less alcohol, you don't go to a party and just stand there getting thirsty while your friends offer you another beer and you have to change your answer from, oh yeah, absolutely, to no thanks. Or if you're trying to drink less wine, you don't get home from work after a long day and sit down and just think, wouldn't it be nice to have a glass of wine? That's not a good way to break a bad habit. One great bit of advice that I was given around breaking habits is to replace the activity with something different. Don't just go to a party and try to not drink beer. Bring some soft drinks with you. Don't get home and sit and think about a glass of wine. Grab a glass of orange juice or go for a walk around the block. Change your routine. Maybe you've got a New Year's resolution and you're trying to break a bad habit. Is it a bit of alcohol or coffee? Too much time on TikTok or Instagram? Well, I wonder, have you got another bad habit or even an addiction? Are you addicted to worry? The answer to worry or being anxious isn't to try not to be anxious by white-knuckling it. Our worry needs replacing. So Paul tells us here that the thing to replace anxiety with is prayer. It's beaten down by prayer to our all-powerful, loving God. So when you are worrying, instead of taking that first step to worry, go instead to prayer. We can replace unhelpful anxiety with talking to God. I think this is the only way that do not be anxious about anything is going to start to happen. Now, if you're someone here this morning that struggles with what I've called capital A anxiety, please don't take this as me just saying, just pray and get on with things. Because I've seen with my own eyes the effect that this deep anxiety has on people. You may be especially anxious because of your personality, because of chemical imbalances in your body, or because of trauma in your life. You may be constantly praying already. This is not just one more area in which you must feel anxious this morning. Now, one thing we can be thankful for in prayer is that God has given us people who care and health professionals that can support us and give us the help when we need it. But I do have a challenge for you this morning, and that is to take Paul's counsel seriously. Prayer is the answer to a great deal of anxiety that all of us face, and no matter the type of anxiety you're battling, presenting requests to God is essential. So if you're struggling with serious anxiety, today you are being presented with an important step in being able to rejoice, prayer in every situation. So what is it that you are anxious or overthinking about at the moment? What is it that fills your mind and stops you from rejoicing? A serious question, but a simple question. Let me ask you, have you prayed about it? Have you talked to God? I will admit that it took us weeks to realize that, Caitlin and I, weeks to realize that we had been constantly worrying before we even started to think about praying. Anxiety is my natural posture. I worry. I do not pray. It's not automatic for me to pray about these things. But if I want to move past these worries, well, I need to replace them with prayer. And I am learning to redirect my worry by presenting my prayers to God. So here's a prayer that I prayed once I realized that so far we'd been prayerless. I said, God, you have saved me and you care deeply for me. You give so many good gifts, but I am worried. Today, I bring before you our financial situation as you move into state in January. You are rich, you are generous, and I know that you care for us. You'll provide for us. Help me to rest in your providence. Give me peace in this, knowing that ultimately I'm at peace with you, the greatest gift I could ever be given. So, what is it that you're worried about? Have you been praying about your worries, or are you aiming to fix them yourself? And you'll be happy to rejoice once you've just got them sorted out. We do not need to bear that burden. We can and we should, and I would even say we must come to God in prayer in every situation. And Paul does tell us too about how our prayers should look, that they should be marked with thanksgiving. It's that word thanksgiving's there in your passage. To pray in every situation in light of what God has already done and who God is. We can be constantly thankful in prayer because God is faithful. He's never failed us and he always wants the best for us. Thanksgiving guards us against being ungrateful or entitled in our prayer. We don't need to wait until our prayers are answered to be thankful, do we? No. God is faithful and he deserves our thanks already. That's our third stop. Paul tells us not to be anxious, but replace anxiety with prayer. So let us fill up the space of anxiety with dependent, thankful prayer to God. And prayer is not without result. Verse 7 tells us the fruit of prayer. That the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. This peace comes from bringing our requests to God and will help us to continually deal with our anxieties and allow us to rejoice. Peace does not come from within you. That's a lie. The opposite is true. When we look deep inside ourselves, what do we find? We find worry, anxiety, unrest. The closest that we get to peace is really just by turning a blind eye when we look deep inside ourselves. Now we need, in our human tendency of anxiety, we need peace, peace from outside of ourselves. This peace from God that we're promised in this passage originates from our peace with God, through Jesus. Our sin-stained hearts are washed clean, and the deep origin of our constant worry and anxiety is dealt with. Once for all, we are made right with God. We have peace with God, gifted by his son Jesus. When we're at peace with God in the light of eternity, we do not need to be anxious. Any situation that we are in is helpfully brought into perspective by one little glimpse at eternity. The Lord is near to us in verse 5, and thanks to Jesus, well, we can draw near to him and rejoice. After I directed my worry to God regarding Sydney, and you've heard my prayer that I prayed, the answers didn't come straight away. The same questions kept rising in my mind, and I can say that some of those same questions are rising still today. I couldn't answer them, and I still can't. But after dwelling on God himself and taking a glimpse at eternity, I can say that I experienced the peace of God. Peace that stilled my worries. The peace of God that comes from peace with God, because the Lord is near. With eternity placed in my sights, that allowed me to rejoice. And since then, God has generously provided for us to be able to move to Sydney. And Caitlin and I are deeply thankful for the partnership of this church and for those supporting us in our move. But I can tell you that the peace came before the answer. The peace came before the answer. I could rejoice despite those unknowns. And this morning I can rejoice despite those unknowns because of God's peace in my life. If you are seeking peace, do not neglect the necessary step of prayer. Let's seek God first in prayer, because he alone can give you peace. If you present your requests to God, his peace will guard you. Peace is the fruit of constant prayer in all situations. I want you to notice the foundation of all the commands that we've looked at this morning. And the peace that guards us here is in Christ Jesus, isn't it? Only through Jesus do we have peace. Paul doesn't tell us to rejoice outside of the Lord. Paul does not tell us not to be anxious by dealing with it ourselves. He never expects us to have peace apart from Jesus. The answer to rejoicing all the time, to constant prayer, and to peace in our faith is Jesus Christ himself. And our big idea that we're working from this morning is that Christians can rejoice in any circumstance because of their faith in Christ Jesus. With Christ in focus, rejoicing and prayer will come. This is the transformed life. It's the difference that Jesus makes, bringing worries to him in prayer and rejoicing constantly through faith. See the peace that you have with God through Jesus and run to him in prayer when anxiety rises within you. What does this year hold for you? What are you concerned about? What are you anxious to get stuck into, so excited that you're failing to rejoice and to remember God? Well, 2022 certainly holds a fair bit of change for Caitlin and I, and for us as a whole church. You may feel like you have 10,000 reasons to worry, 10,000 things on your mind as you stare down the barrel of another year. And a word to those who don't know Jesus, who haven't put their trust in him, if you're among us this morning and you want peace in 2022, you see Christians rejoicing and you want that yourself, Jesus is there and he will welcome you. So take him up on his offer of peace and salvation. This morning, I want us to know that we can commit each and every situation to God in prayer. Jesus himself will allow you to be joyful despite the situation. We can rejoice because we have peace with God. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. And when anxiety comes, it's time to pray. God's peace will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So what a better way to close a sermon on prayer than praying together now. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, we confess we are warriors. We have so many reasons to rejoice. You've given us so many good things. You've given us life in Jesus. And yet our minds are dragged to anxiety. Give us hearts that run to you in every situation in prayer. Let us replace our anxiety with prayer. Thank you for promising us peace. Help us to hold that peace out to those who need it as well. We long to be able to rejoice in you always. Lord, we ask that you would do this work in our hearts because we know it's impossible for us to do so in our own strength. We ask all this, Lord, in your name. Amen.